Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
Welcome, Street Talkers. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi with Street Talk Theology coming to you. It's an honor to be here. And what was I going to say? Let me think a couple of things to say before I start. Email me, PastorGrimaldi@gmail.com. Any questions, any concerns, anything, I'm here for you. But again, it is my honor to have Ashok Mohan with me. Pastor Michael is not with us this morning, but Ashok, he's gonna join us during the week, hopefully, right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, so we want to pray for Pastor Michael because his grandfather is not doing well, Ashok. So hopefully and prayerfully he will come through that. But I know Pastor Michael is dealing with that issue this morning. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so we were talking this morning. We have some stuff that we do want to talk about during the week, but we want to delve in that when Pastor Michael's able to come on, and we're going to keep that a little bit of a secret right now. But during the week, or at least towards the end of the week, we're going to get into some stuff probably for Pastor Mike, we might be talking for a few hours, right, Ashok?
Yes.
So I was discussing with Ashok, what can we talk about for just, you know, a half hour today? And we both thought about something really practical about how to study the Bible or ways to study the Bible, especially for people who are working, who don't, so Ashok, if people don't know, can you tell them what you do? I mean, what is your occupation, obviously?
Yeah, I work as a software developer. I write software. I work in a startup here in Trivandrum, Kerala, India. And that's what I primarily do. And then I help my pastor out at the church, and occasionally I take exhortations and help him with some of the teaching as well. So, yeah, so that's what I do.
Yeah, he's a good teacher, I'll tell you. He really is. But you know something, before we start, I was, you know, so we were trying to think of some topics to talk about, you know, in not having Pastor Michael today. So, and we're kind of a team, us three, so we're missing one of our arms here. But I was asking Ashok about something about, can we talk about, you know, dating, you know, should Christians date or not date? And he told me, he says, so you tell him, Ashok, when I ask you that question, what would you tell me?
Yeah, that's not something that we do here. And it's not that people don't date here, but at least when it comes to Kerala, still culturally, it's not normative yet.
So it's not normative even for non-Christians, Ashok, or just...
For non-Christians, it's becoming, there is a slight increase in the, you know, it's becoming more normative of late, but then, yeah, still it is not a very common thing.
Yeah, so hopefully, and obviously for Christians, it's something we just, and, you know, there's power in prayer. The Lord can bring somebody, you know, for the individual, I'm sure. I'm definitely sure. Okay, so I showed you this book before, right, Ashok? This is How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, by Gordon Fee and Doug Stewart. And there isn't a book, I don't think there's a theological book in the world that Ashok does not know. So one of these days I'll put up a book and he won't know it. So let me pick his brain for the next 20 minutes if I can. So Ashok, you'd work, I mean, obviously you work from home, but And he did tell me that he does not have a plan of how he studies the Bible. But can you help the audience, especially people at work? Because we just went through this book in our Wednesday night Bible study, How to Study the Bible for All It's Worth. I think there's a well of information there. But maybe you can help us, help our audience, Ashok, on, you know, some tips how to study the Bible.
Yeah. So when I'm talking about how I study the Bible, now there is a contextual context to it as well. So it would be one way if I'm doing my daily devotionals. If it is one, it would be a different way if I'm trying to understand a topic, a big topic, and I want to square it off. That will be a different way I approach it. And it'll be a different way if I have to preach something, if I have to prepare a sermon or an exhortation for the church or anything like that. So let me begin with the daily devotionals, or how do I do the daily devotionals, how I do my normal Bible reading. All I probably would have is my ESV, NKJV Reformation Study Bible, and my ESV Bible with me. So I have an NKJV Reformation Study Bible because I could not get the ESV Reformation Study Bible, or I would have gotten that. So I just pretty much depend on the footnotes if I get stuck somewhere. But then I read, I pause, I meditate, pray over it, and then keep going in cycles. So the key is not to take humongous portions of text that we can't work through. And it is to take small texts but ponder over them and meditate over them. So I always like to, one of the things that I like to do if I'm called to preach at a Bible study or something like that is take a very simple psalm that people are used to and tell them, have you really thought through this? Say, for example, Psalm 23. I like to pause on the very first verse of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd is a humongous, amazing thing to say. The Lord, the one who created the heavens and the earth and the one who sustains every single thing. And he, out of all the things that he can do, he chose to be our shepherd. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a lot to meditate upon. So many times it is just stop and meditate on those beautiful things and just go ahead. So my daily devotionals basically work like that. I take a small portion of the text and just stop and ponder and meditate over the text. And I use a study Bible to for the notes in case I get stuck, in case I need a context.
Yeah, and I think, as he was saying that, just the Lord is my shepherd, sometimes we're just fast readers, and especially in America, we just have a fast life. So I really get that. That's encouraging. So here's something. Now, you said you in some of your study, so let me ask you a quick question. How long does it take you to prepare a sermon if you have to preach?
So it can... There are times that I've had to preach on the spot and I have to prepare.
Then you have no choice. Yeah,
honestly. Right? And you have to depend on what you've done with the text before. But then there have also been sermons where it takes a few hours usually. If I'm just dedicated upon it, if I'm not splitting it across the week, it takes me a few hours, maybe 2-3 hours to work on the text and go through the commentary and everything. But then it might also be because I mostly work with Psalms more than difficult texts when it comes to a sermon. So I have never had a situation where I have to preach through a super hard text in front of a congregation kind of a thing. So it's usually Psalms and everything. So for Psalms, I usually use a book called Treasury of David, and that's all you need, I think.
Spurgeon, right?
Yes, Spurgeon. So I've had these instances where I look at a verse in the psalm and it seems very simple and I think, okay, there is nothing to be done with it. How far can you say something like the Lord is beautiful? If that's a verse, I'm like, okay, fine, the Lord is beautiful. There isn't much to be done with it. And then you look into Treasury of David and you can see that Spurgeon has written 2 pages on it.
Spurgeon's long-winded guy. You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, when I was in prison, talk about long-winded guys. I think one of the first commentaries I got was by Matthew Henry. And that guy, I mean, that you talk about, and his, the print, Ashok, was about that small. You know, he would go pages on a half a scripture. So here's something that I, and let me know if I'm instructing wrong. One thing I try to tell the congregation that I serve, you know, because people work, and I try to tell them, I know for some people this works, but for the majority of people, if you're going to take your Bible before you go to sleep and lay down and read your Bible, I just don't know if that's the, now I'm not putting that, some people that's fine. But I know that if you worked all day and stuff and you lay down and start reading, you know, you're probably going to fall asleep. So Is it better? And again, maybe it's different for everybody. And again, I want to be careful what I'm saying. But is it better to, you would say, if somebody's working, to do it in the morning or when they come home? Or is there any, and I know there's probably no set thing, but what would be the, you would say, where somebody could maybe get the most out of it?
Pastor, I remember being a 20-year-old, 21-year-old Christian and being able to pick up the Bible at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the night and just go till 3 o'clock in the morning. Right?
See, there goes my theory then, right? Yeah.
That was back then, and it doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't
now
work
that I'm
now.
Working, yeah, and I can't do the nighttime thing. So, and it says somehow I had the super busy day and I couldn't quite have that time with the Bible in any time in the morning, and the only time left is night. I know I would do it, but more often than not, it ends up being this thing where I have to do with a sense of duty more than enjoying it. Okay, fine, I haven't read the scripture today. It ends up like being like that. It is impractical for me to do the night thing. But at the same time, I used to have this brother at church who was my roommate as well, and he could go hours and hours in the night. For him, it is the only time it works. It doesn't work in the morning.
Yeah.
But he's a young Christian. I do not know how long that will last. As
yeah, we don't want to discourage him, though. Let him keep going.
We don't want to. Yeah.
I as you're thinking about this, and I know that our topic is, if you ever listen to me, Pastor Michael, and Ashok, we have a topic where we hardly ever stay on the topic. So as he was speaking about studying the Bible, I was thinking about, maybe because I'm preaching in Amos, about the famine of God's word today. Ashok, I don't know. Do people really understand and study enough of God's word? Because, and here's the reason why I'm saying this. If you got somebody behind the pulpit that's preaching and teaching, and you don't know what they're saying, they can tell you anything. I'm speaking. I always encourage and beg the congregation where I serve that, please, what I'm teaching and preaching, you need to go study and look and be good Bereans. We've kind of lost that today. Am I right, Ashok?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, that people might see the whole reason we have all sorts of false teachers and prosperity teachers and everything is because people don't go and check their scriptures. They don't wrestle with the scripture, wrestle with theological doctrinal truths, and have that fight on their knees through in prayer, depending on the Holy Spirit, and reading the scripture, rereading the scripture, looking at the context of the scripture, and finally figuring it out. It is very true. There is a famine in that sense within the church. Yeah.
Yeah. And the problem is, you know, and again, this is something that I think is the problem is, if you're the congregation that you're teaching, or the people that you're teaching, if they don't know the word, then you can tell them anything.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think, and I know that the Bible is clear that we need to be good Bereans. So here's a question, and this is probably to do with sermons, so I don't want to, you know. So when I went to seminary, there was only certain commentaries that we could use, and they had to be exegetical commentaries. So, and again, this was a little outside of our purview today because we wanted to keep it pretty practical, but maybe you can explain the difference between what an exegetical commentary is and I don't want to say a regular commentary, but more of a devotional commentary. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think, one would have to do with the exegetical commentary would be more of a preacher's resource.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Because the expectation is the person that who is reading it, instead of him directly getting edified by it, he he's able to use that text to edify others, if that makes sense, and himself as well.
Say that again. I missed that. I'm sorry.
So the expectation of the exegetical commentary is that they would work with the text in such a manner that the reader is able to take it and then be able to edify somebody else and be edified.
Amen. Amen.
So that he can use it to work through the text to edify himself as well as others. Whereas a devotional would jump to the last point directly. Right? That devotional is meant to be edifying in itself, as in that is what is the expectation of it.
So and also more personal, the devotional would be more personal, you're saying?
Yes, more personal. And in the sense, exegetical leaves a lot of room for what the preacher can do with the text, different angles that he can take.
This and is a great point. Yeah. And we were just talking about that, and I mean to cut you off on that. We were just talking about that, that good exegetical commentaries and will kind of open your mind a little bit, right, Ashuk, and then you can go from there. But so when you're doing personal study, You would recommend, or if somebody wants to use a commentary, it would be more of a devotional commentary, right?
Yeah, devotional commentary and even Matthew Henry Concise,
Concise is right.
Concise would be a good commentary to use, and New Biblical commentary is a pretty decent commentary to use. It's not overly complicated either. And so those are the, and then many times I pretty much end up using only the study notes of Reformation Study Bible or ESV, Crossway ESV Study Bible. Both of these are really good study Bibles with excellent notes. One of them, R.C. Sproul is the editor of one of them, the other one is Crossway Bible. So I end up using that a lot as well. Yeah, so those would be, and maybe even a dictionary. New Bible Dictionary, not the extremely complicated ones, but I found having the Biblical Dictionary with me very useful many a times when I'm going through the scripture.
So,
say Amalekites, I'm stuck with Amalekites, it helps me to go to the Biblical commentary and find out what they are. So those kinds of things.
So Ashuk, for our listeners, mentioned the Reformation Study Bible and then the ESV Study Bible. And one of the things I've learned, if you guys listening buy a study Bible, make sure you look at the contributors in that study Bible. I think that's important, right, Ashuk? I mean, I know if you look at the ESV, the Reformation Study Bible, I know, is that done by I am not familiar with as far as the contributors.
A lot of the Westminster guys and professors, and R.C. Sproul is one of the main editors.
Yeah, right. And I know Sproul had something to do. But I know in that ESV study Bible, what's good about the notes there is they give you different theological aspects, and the scholars that are investing in that Bible are from all sound, but all different, you know, you'll have Reform guys, you'll have guys from other schools and things like that. Very, very well rounded. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I found it to be I found it to be less preachy in many ways. So yeah, so that is true. I felt the same thing. Yeah, about ESV. The study notes as well. Yeah.
So here's a question. As we kind of, we still got about 6-7 minutes. So I was talking to my wife the other day, and you know, my wife Rachel is very literal. So we were talking, and you know, we were talking about study habits and things like that. And you know, Rachel wants to make sure she does her Bible study every day. And I told her, I said, I says, it's good that you have to study your word. That's a top of the line. But there are some times where you can, like I'm reading, I'm backing away from the mic here. I'm reading The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self by Carl Truman, forward by Rod Dreher here. And I'm really enjoying that book. So here's my question. And I told Rachel, I says, you know, Rach, you know, you read your word, but it's good maybe to take a book like the one I'm reading now. And so what do you think about, I don't want to say novels, I guess they are, but in a way that Christian books, like sound Christian books, like say this one I'm reading, are they okay? I mean, is that, I don't want to take the place of study, but it's,
yes. But when it comes to reform culture, one of the things that I've seen is it sometimes goes to the other extreme as well, where the people are incapable of doing anything with the text of the scripture if they don't have a book. On the other hand, people can be very biblical but have an aversion towards anything else, spiritual books and everything. Bible is all you need. Bible is all you need, but then we all stand on the shoulders of giants, right? People, great men of God who have contributed to the church, whom God has blessed with amazing minds to think through the text and bring out doctrinal truth in a very and formulate it in a beautiful manner. So one of the things that I've seen is reading books helps me think clearly, in the sense, you're getting to see a sneak peek into the mind of these people who wrote it, right? How to think through the scripture, how to formulate the thoughts together. So inner study, it ends up being a Bible study as well, because you learn how to read the scripture and understand the scripture and take ideas out of it. And also, there is a kind of study that, say it is any topic such as, say, resurrection. Now, I can go through the scripture and study what does it have to say about resurrection, but here is a scholar who has spent his life on studying this thing, giving you information from Genesis to Revelation, very well detailed, and a lot of information that might take you years to find it on your own. But here we have it as a book, and we are informed about it, and that makes our life much easier, our pursuit of knowledge much easier. Yeah.
Yeah, and another thing, you know, that's great stuff. I mean, top of the line stuff. But you know, we have a lot of stuff going on in the world today, right? Like we're gonna delve on in the next few days, critical race theory and things like that. And I think that, and like I said, reading The Rise and Triumph of Modern Self, what I've learned is I've learned to look at how the culture is being shaped and how we can look at it from a biblical perspective. And I think that's helpful and again, studying the scriptures, good commentaries, second to none. But I think when you get writers that are trying to give a biblical perspective of what's happening in the world, I think those things are helpful.
Yeah, very much so. And another thing that I've thought is very useful is to have some understanding of systematic theology. Now, not saying that every single person should be able to give us every single verse on pneumatology and eschatology and everything, but have a generic understanding of the attributes of God and everything. So there is this thing that I wrote about the relation between systematic theology and how to understand the scripture. And this is what I wrote. When approaching a portion of scripture that we are not familiar with, there are two things that come handy. First, a firm grasp of the systematic theology, and second, experience in handling the scripture, which comes as a result of years of studying it. Think of understanding the gist of a passage as similar to looking for buried treasure in a piece of land. Our years of experience of having studied the text, texture and layout of the land makes our search for the treasure easier. But often, our eyes are so glued to the ground as we proceed with such a search that the fence of systematic theology becomes necessary, so that it would serve to stop us just when we are about to cross the boundaries of the land into dangerous territory. It keeps us from wandering off and helps us look for revelation only within the safe grounds of orthodoxy.
Yeah, so, that's a good, you, in other words, we gotta, I'll say that in New York talk, we gotta stay in our lane. We don't wanna go outside our lane,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Ashok, listen, we have about, a minute or two before I gotta sign off. So anything you wanna say? Cause we'll be back, I think. Pastor Michael, say, did you find out we might meet this week, or did you talk to him, or you didn't talk to him?
It seemed like we should be able to meet this week. I spoke to him.
Okay, good. And, tell us something before I sign off. Just tell us how much you love us Americans. No,
yeah, all this said about different ways and methods, pragmatic approaches to studying the scripture. At the end of the day, we need God to bless us. We need God to open our eyes and the Holy Spirit to truly work. Or else we might even be able to learn a lot, but this would be pointless. All that we do, all that we learn would just be head knowledge if God doesn't bless us. So
yeah. Please.
And one of the ways that we can learn the scripture the best is actually plead unto the Lord day after day and ask Him, incline my heart to your testimonies, not to selfish gain, and turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things, give me life in your ways. That those words from the Psalms, they have been a great blessing to me. I prayed those. That's the first prayer I have in the morning. When I wake up, I made it a habit to pray that as the first thing in the morning. And I think God has heard that prayer to a great extent in teaching me scriptures and everything. So I would highly encourage that we understand that this is primarily a spiritual pursuit, and it is supernatural. It has to be supernatural, and the Holy Spirit has to open our eyes.
Amen. And what an honor to speak to my brother. I love these guys, man. I love Ashok, Pastor Michael. And again, guys, this goes fast, but we really enjoy doing this. We love you guys. This is Pastor Dominic Grimaldi again, Street Talk Theology. We take our theology and we bring it to the streets, even to the streets of India, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.